Father, we do praise you for who you are. We recognize that you are the one and true and living God. Lord, we know that in you is life, life everlasting. Father, as we now turn to your word, your everlasting word, the word that endures forever, the one that you inspired by your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray now that your word that is truth, that we would be sanctified by it, Father, that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth for your honor and for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, What a wonderful day it has already been, and thankful again for what the Lord has done in Joe and Nicole's life, and thankful for everything, the Lord keeping them safe and saving them and giving them life, and what a wonderful time we can celebrate as a church family. We've been going through the book of Psalms for the last few weeks for this summer series, and one of the reasons that we're going through this and going through the Psalms and looking at an overview of the Psalms is because in the Psalms and all of the Psalms, they speak to all of our different areas of life. Speak to the good days and the difficult days. Speak to when we as believers struggle with sin and need to confess our sin to the Lord. The book of Psalms is really an anatomy of the whole soul of God's people. And we need the book of Psalms. And we find ourselves in Psalm chapter 42 and 43 this morning. Two of the most helpful Psalms for those who are struggling, those who are going through pain and difficulty. As I was preparing this week, I reread a parts of a book that I had read at one point, Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. And he begins the very first page of this book by saying this: "When I was 14 years old, my mother died suddenly, without warning. I was in the adjoining room and rushed in just in time to see her gasp her last breath. I was stunned and devastated. My older brother was away at school and my dad was too stricken with grief himself to be able to help me. Worst of all, I did not know how to turn to God in times of trouble. I was alone in my adversity." And I don't know if you've ever felt that way. And that resonates with me growing up and having tragedy in my own life with death of loved ones from an early age and many deaths of friends and throughout school and things like that and own struggles in life. And I can sympathize with what Jerry Bridges says here because I grew up in feeling the same way where life is hard and life is difficult and I don't know always where to turn. I didn't know where to turn. And about 3 years ago, I was going through one of those seasons of life and things were hard and stressful and difficult. And there was all kinds of circumstances in life that made it feel like every day was a blue day. I don't know if you've had those days where it's just a blue day. But it was one after the other after the other. And I didn't know what to do. And I was with some pastor friends one day and they began to help me. I finally spoke to them and told them what was going on. And they began to turn to Scripture and point me back to God and point me back to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And since then, since 3 years ago, my desire has been to help God's people who are struggling. Because a lot of times we struggle and we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. You don't want to admit that you're struggling. You want to be strong in yourself and you don't want to show any kind of weakness. But we do struggle in this life even as believers. Life is difficult in a fallen and broken world where we're longing for glory and longing for heaven, but we're not there yet. And my desire as your pastor is to help each and every one of you in those difficult seasons of life. I pray that it's not always a difficult season of life, that there are sunshiny days, but when those dark days come, how can we trust in the Lord? No matter what. And these two Psalms together will help us to learn how to do that. And so I'm going to ask if you are willing and able to stand for the reading of God's Word. to stand and look with me at Psalm chapter 42. It says this, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the God of my countenance and the help of my countenance and my God." Psalm 43, verse 1, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me back to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that your spirit would lead us to the truth that you are always good, even in the difficulties and troubles of this life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. These two psalms go together. This is, if you look in your Bible right above Psalm 42, it says book 2. The psalms are broken up into 5 different books, and this is the second book of Psalms, Psalms 42 through 72. And this begins a new series in a way. David is mostly the author of Psalms, but he's not always. And this says that it is written right under Psalm 42 in your Bible. It says, "For the choir director, a maskil of the sons of Korah." And then under 43, there's not one. So most people think that these go together because of the themes and because you can hear that same phrase or the chorus is repeated in both. And so the sons of Korah, these were people who were Levites in the days of Israel, and they were leaders of worship. And a maskil is more of an instruction. And so you have these worship leaders, and this one worship leader, the son of Korah, has written an instruction for fellow followers of the Lord and how to follow him when your soul feels in desperate need. And you read this psalm and you hear the deep, dark language of it in some ways, and you think, this is hard to swallow. This is hard to listen to. This is hard to read as a believer. Surely believers don't feel this way, and yet, if you've lived long enough in this world, you can cry out with a psalmist, "Why are you in despair? Why is my soul so downcast? Why am I struggling?" And this is the context of this this psalm. He is the author of the psalm. He's away from the people of God, away from the city of God, away from the temple to where he can worship the Lord. We're not exactly sure where he is or why he is there, but he is away from there, and he's crying out to the Lord in desperate need for him. And that's what we're going to see this morning is two different things. One, the causes of his despair and the remedies of his despair. And so first, the causes is, again, he's separated. He's away from the people of God, away from the worship of God. And he feels alone. And he feels like there's no one who cares for him. And he is starting to listen to the voices of other people who are non-believers saying, "Where's your God at? I thought he was the one true God. Where is he at? Why is he not caring for you?" And so he begins this psalm by saying, "As the deer pants for the water brooks." As a deer is so thirsty, looking for water, scattering about, trying to find just a little bit of water. You may not have seen a deer trying to look for a little bit of water, but surely most of you have seen your dog or a neighbor's dog on a hot day with his tongue hanging out, ready to find just a puddle, just to get some water because he's so thirsty. And the psalmist is saying, "My soul pants for you, O God. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for you. I'm in desperate need for you, O God." Verse 2, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." He's in need of God. He knows God, but he feels like God is a million miles away. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Where you know God is there, but you just feel like he's not. And this is why he's over and over going to remind himself over and over of the hope he has in God. But we see that he's suffering. We see that he's suffering. And then he says in verse 2, "When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night." There's a lot right here in these first two verses that really teach us about why his soul is so downcast and in desperation. First, we see in verse 2, "When shall I come and appear before God?" He's away from the worship of God. He's away from the temple. In this day, in this age in the Old Testament, the people of God would gather to the tabernacle or to the temple, and they would worship the Lord together. And he's away and he's crying out, "God, I need you. I want you. I want to worship you." Just a couple of years ago, many of us experienced this. All of us experienced this when COVID hit and we were prevented from worshiping for a time. And I don't know how it affected you, but there were some weeks and some Sundays I felt this same way where I just wanted to gather with the people of God. And by God's grace, we were able to start gathering again. And what joy that brings to the people of God. God created us as individuals, but to gather in community together. That's why we gather as the church. And many of us felt this same way during that time. And I think there was so many struggles with people during that time because, as believers, because they couldn't gather together. Because they couldn't gather weekly to worship the Lord. We got online and you could watch it on a computer, but that's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same as gathering week in and week out with the people of God, looking at your faces, holding hands together, praying together, loving on one another, listening to the beautiful voice of one voice of all the people singing together. There's something about gathering in person. That's what God has called us to do. And the psalmist is away for whatever reason. And he says, "When shall I come and appear before God?" And then he says, verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night." He said, "I'm not eating anything but the tears that are just falling down my face. I'm struggling. I'm in desperation. I found myself in a situation in life and I don't know how I got here, why I got here, but I'm here." And maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there right now. You open your eyes and you think, "This is not what I envisioned for my life. And I'm here and I'm hurting and I'm in pain. And I can say with the psalmist that my tears are my food. My tears are my food." And yet, we know that God is merciful and God is good. And we'll get there in just a moment. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. While they were saying to me all the day long, where is your God? Part of what's going on here is not only is the psalmist struggling, but now he's struggling in a land, in a situation where there's a lot of unbelievers. And he's listening to their voices. He says it there in verse 3. And then he says it in verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemy. Psalm 43, verse 2. You are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go on mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. He's began to listen to the outside voices of the world rather than the voice of God. Rather than the word of God. And he's listening to them. And they're saying, I thought your God was a loving God. I thought your God was all powerful. I thought your God was leading you and guiding you into the green pastures and beside the still waters. Where is your God? And this is what the world says. This is what makes suffering so difficult when we look out and see tragedy in the world and tragedy in our own life. And we look out and people question and doubt God. The world doubts God. Oh, God was not loving, or God was not powerful, or God was not good. And that's why you and I as believers, we need to know the Word of God. And we need to remind ourselves of the Word of God, because God is all powerful, God is all good, God is all loving, even when sometimes it doesn't seem like it. And that's why we have to remind ourselves from the Scripture of who God is. You start listening to the world about who God is and you will be led astray just like that. As long as you continue to listen to what the news says and what blogs say and what books say that are written by unbelievers who claim that they've experienced God or know God, you will be led astray. It is only when we find ourselves in the Word of God that we can truly know who God is. There's two different instances as I was preparing this week thinking about different cases in Scripture. This psalm could have possibly been written when Israel was exiled. We're not exactly sure, but at least we know that Israel, once they got to the promised land, they find themselves struggling. They find themselves in sin, and God is patient, but for a time in the Old Testament, he's going to say, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge you for your sin, for your lack of faith, for your lack of trust in me. And he sends the Babylonians, and they come in, and they take over God's people, and they kick them out of their land, and they take them to Babylon, and they're there. And they're there for decades, and they're struggling because they find themselves in a foreign land. They find themselves eating different food, listening to different, smelling different smells, and hearing different languages, and they're struggling. And they're thinking, where are you, God? And in Psalm 137, it says this, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. So the people of God are in a foreign land and they're weeping. Their tears are their food day and night, and they're crying out. They're in this foreign land. In verse 2, upon the willows of the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded of us a song, and our tormentors mirth sang, sing us one of the songs of Zion. So they're there in this foreign land, and the Babylonians are saying, you say you're people of God, sing us a song to the Lord. Sing us a song of praise to the Lord. Why are you not singing? And in verse 4, one of the most important verses that you and I can know and know how to answer, it says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They're questioning, how? How can we be in such suffering and turmoil and sing out to God? This is what the psalmist is saying. This is what you and I have to ask ourselves. Let's take this verse, verse 4. How can we sing the Lord's song in a world that is not our home? This is not it. This is not it. Christ went to prepare a dwelling place for us, a place where there is no more tears and no more death and no more suffering and no more sin. But we are not there yet. And so how can you and I, who live in a fallen, broken world, that experience struggles every day, how can we sing in this foreign world? And that's a question we have to ask ourselves. There's oppression coming from the world who are wanting us to doubt God. Even Jesus himself felt this in Matthew's gospel in chapter 27. Jesus on the cross says this: at the time the two robbers were crucified with him, and one on the right and one on the left, and those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." Listen, we are going to be mocked by this world. There's going to be oppression that comes. Jesus himself felt that from the world. What did Jesus tell us in John chapter 15? In the same way that the world hates me, the world is going to hate you as well. So we should not be surprised. So what do? We have to make sure we're not listening to the voices of the oppressors, the voices of the enemies. And so he finds himself in a difficult circumstance. He finds himself listening to these false voices. And then in verse 7 of Psalm 42, it seems like it just keeps coming and coming and coming. It says, "Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me." You ever been to the ocean and trip up a little bit, and you're trying to stand up, and the water keeps coming, the waves keep coming. You try to stand up, and another one knocks you down, and another one knocks you down, and another. And this is what he's saying in verse 7. "Every time I stand up, your waters, Lord, they overtake me." The struggles of this life overtake me. You think, tomorrow's a new day. You get up, get ready for work, go outside, and your tire's flat. And you think, if there's one more thing that happens, even small things, it just seems like little things like this happen. Or you get a phone call from the doctor's office that you've been waiting on, and you think, this is going to be good news, and it's not good news. Or you get a phone call from a friend, a long lifetime friend, that things are not going well. You hear about marriages ending. You hear about these things, and you think, nothing else can go wrong, can it? And then you turn the news on and you see another shooting, or you see another tornado, see another tragedy, and it just seems like the waves of this life, of this suffering, keeps coming over and over and over. And life gets difficult, and life gets hard. We saw this last week in Psalm 23, where David says, "Lord, you lead me into the green pastures and beside the still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me down the right path." And then he says, as though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. So even in these waves, even in these difficult times, God is with us. And that's what we have to remember. Remember the story of Joseph in Genesis, where he is one of 12 brothers, and his brothers don't really like Joseph. He's one of the favorites of the parents, and maybe you were a favorite of your parents and your brothers and sisters didn't like you, or you were the other one that didn't like your brother and sister. You don't have to tell me about it, but Joseph was that way, and his brothers did not like him. And what they do, they threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. And he finds himself in Egypt working for Potiphar. But what does it say? God was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. And then he's serving the Lord. He's serving him there and helping Potiphar. And then Potiphar's wife begins to falsely accuse him of things. And Joseph finds himself locked up in prison. And what does it say? Even in the prison, the Lord was with Joseph. You see these different struggles, and yet God was with him. And then he meets these two men, a baker and a cupbearer, and he interprets their dreams and says that the Pharaoh is going to restore one and not the other. And he said, "Just remember me." And it takes about 2 years for the cupbearer to remember Joseph. Joseph was innocent and yet served 2 years in prison for doing nothing but honoring the Lord. It's not fair, it seems, in this world. But God is just, And what happens, Joseph gets to interpret the Pharaoh's dreams, and he becomes second in command of all of Egypt. And then a few years later, when the famine hits, his brothers come and they beg for food, and Joseph can't stand it any longer, and he shuts the door and cries out. He says, "I'm your brother Joseph." And what does he say? "You sold me here, but it wasn't you, it was God. God sent me here for a purpose, and God was with me." And that is our hope, is that in the difficult times in life, in the struggles, God is with us, and God promises to be with us. And so we see the different causes through these two psalms. So what are the remedies? There's many, but let me mention a few for us this morning. First, let us remind ourselves of the hope in God that we have. We see this in verse 5, we see this in verse 11, we see this in 43:5. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. For the help of my presence," your translation may say, "for my Savior and my God." This is the idea where he's saying, listen, life is difficult and life is hard, but listen to what he's doing. He's talking to himself. We talk to ourselves. You don't admit it, but we all talk to ourselves. We really do. And what is he saying? He's reminding himself of the truth of God. He's saying, soul, why are you struggling? Why are you hurting? Why is there pain? What do I need to do? I need to hope in God. I need to remember the hope that I have, that God is my Savior. That's what he says here. "As I hope in God, I shall praise him for the help of his presence," or "for he is my Savior and my God." We need to remind ourselves in those difficult times that God is our hope, that God is our strength and our Savior. We have to remind ourselves of that, because the voices of this world and the things of this world, it can kind of tune us out to that. But we have to tell ourselves each and every day, God is good and God is our hope. God is our hope. So preach that to yourself each and every day. Second, we remember the loving kindness of the Lord. Look with me in verse 8. "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life." He says, "The Lord will command his loving kindness to me in the daytime." This word loving kindness is the same one we saw in Psalm 23 last week in verse 6, where David says, "Surely goodness and mercy," or loving kindness, "will what? Follow me all the days of my life." This word loving kindness, this is God's covenant love for his people. This is a love that will never, ever fail. This is God's enduring love. And in times of hardship and sorrow, we need to remind ourselves of the love of God. Because, as I said earlier, that can be one of the first things to go, as we think, well, I'm going through this. God must not love me. So what do? We again turn to Scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." If you're struggling to remember that God is loving, we look back to the cross. We look back to the cross. John Stott, in his famous book, The Cross of Christ, he said it this way: if you're looking for a definition of love, don't look in the dictionary. Look back at Calvary. And that will show us true love. And that is a reminder for us. What did Paul say in the book of Romans? It says this: "Who or what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Just as it is written, "You, for your sake, we are being put to death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." We're going through pain and suffering. And then he says, verse 37, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who" what? "Who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 35 through 39. You need to put that in your pocket. You need to save that. You need to remember that. And you might think, I'm not struggling today. Well, you will. You will. I heard my home church secretary tell me one time, she had been a pastor's wife for a long time. She said, David, listen, you're either going into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or coming out of the storm, but you need to be ready. And listen, it's hard to remember this when those dark days come, when the clouds come. And that's why we got to prepare ourselves when it's sunshiny, in the light, for when those dark days come. So remember these verses. Remember these so that we can praise Him, remembering the love of God. And then you see back in Psalm 42, verse 8, not only does He say that He'll command His loving kindness in the daytime, He says, and His song will be with me in the night. We sing to the Lord. We sing to the Lord. It can be hard to remember the love of God, but when you're in those difficult days, it can really be hard to sing praises to the Lord. You don't feel like singing. You don't feel like doing any of that. I had a pastor one time talk about, he went through a months of a feeling this way, where sorrow just felt like just kept coming on. And he said, I love to whistle. He said, I didn't whistle for months. And he said, all of a sudden in the truck one day, he said, I started whistling. And he said, the Lord, I began to remember that the Lord was with me. The Lord was guiding me. The Lord loved me. And I began to sing the song of the Lord again. And this is what the psalmist is saying. His song will be with me in the night. When you read that line, it's hard not to think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, where they say, God, we want to take your gospel over here. And he said, No. You're going to go down to Philippi. And you're going to go here and take the gospel. And they said, okay, Lord. So they go. They begin to preach the gospel. And as they preach, people get saved. But the town, the oppressors, the world, they don't like it. What do? They take Paul and they take Silas and they beat them. Lock them up in the prison. And then it says at midnight, what do? Do they curse God? Do they call out, God, where are you? No, they say, it says they sing hymns of praise to the Lord. In the midst of their sorrow, in the midst of their suffering, they could have been like the psalmist right here, and they could have said, this is not where we wanted to be, God. And they could have cursed out to God, and yet they sang to the Lord because He is good. His loving kindness endures forever. They understood that and they were singing to the Lord. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. We have to sing. We're going to sing it in a little while. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It doesn't always have to be a joyful song. It can be, it is well with my soul. But we sing to the Lord even in the pain. And then in verse 8 it says, a prayer to the God of my life. We are to pray to the Lord. So we hope in the Lord and we remember His love and we sing to Him, but we pray to Him. Why? Because prayer is dependence upon God. It's showing our trust in the Lord. And I don't know about you, but prayer can be difficult. It can be difficult in those hard times. Sometimes that makes people fall upon their face to the Lord, but sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you get before the Lord and you're crying and you're in pain and suffering and you don't know what to say. But here's some good news. Christ is praying for you. Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, even when we struggle to pray, the Holy Spirit is taking our prayers to the Lord, praying with us and for us. There, so even when you can't pray, know that Christ Himself is praying. And we pray. We should pray. What do we pray? We pray reminders. Go back to Scripture. Go back to, I was talking to Buddy this morning about how the Psalms and how the Word of God are full of promises of God. What does Hebrews 13 tell us? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28, where Jesus says at the end of his great commission, I will be with you always till the end of the age. There are thousands of promises that we could take from Scripture, but those are two that we need to pray in the midst of struggles and trials, is that, God, you've promised not to leave me, and I know you won't. The psalmist throughout these two psalms, he feels like God has left him. He said, verse 9, why have you forgotten me? Why have you rejected me? It felt that way, but in reality, God had not forgotten the psalmist. God had not rejected him. He needed to remind himself of who God is. Two more things. When we struggle, one of the things that we like to do is isolate ourselves. We don't want to trouble other people with what's going on, or we might think they don't understand or they don't need to hear this. And so what do? We isolate ourselves. And what is the psalmist doing throughout here? He wants to get back to the worship of God. Why? Because he wants to praise God, but he also wants to be with the people of God. And this is what you and I need to do. We need the people of God in those difficult times. We need to rely upon one another. And so when you're struggling, know that you have a church family that loves you, that's praying for you, that cares for you. Maybe you think, I'm not struggling. Well, someone in this church family is struggling. And so we need to find out who that is, and we need to love them, and we need to care for them, and we need to lift them up in prayer, and we need to help them, because we need one another. We need one another. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. We're thankful for that. He understands. And he comforts us. But then it says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So what's Paul saying there? God, who is a God of comfort and mercy, he comes alongside the side of us and he comforts us. And he does so that you and I can then learn to show mercy and comfort to one another. Listen, God doesn't waste our pain. God doesn't waste our tears. There's a purpose. We might not always understand the purposes of our pain, of our suffering, of our sicknesses, of our illnesses, of our struggles. And yet, God, in his infinite wisdom and glory, has a purpose. And part of that purpose is so that we can learn to rely upon him, and that, so that we can help one another. Finally, in Psalms 42 and 43, I noticed this. I was going back through my notes this morning, and I thought, there's something else here, and I just don't know what it is yet, and it hit me early this morning, is that we need to remind ourselves of the character of God. Let's look back through this really quickly. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for the living God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Verses 5 and 11, hope in God, for I shall praise him for the help. He is my help, or he is my Savior. So he's the living God. He is my Savior. Verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, my sure foundation. Psalm 43, verse 2, for you are the God of my strength. I am weak, but you are strong. Psalm 43, verse 4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. You hear this language of the psalmist, of these names he's given to God as his rock, as his strength, as his Savior, as his hope, as his joy. And we need to remind ourselves of who God is in the midst of suffering and in the midst of pain, the midst of sorrow. We do so because life is difficult, but God is always good. And as I was thinking about these passages this week, I was reminded of a children's book. And there's a children's book written by a pastor a few years ago. He had a son that was 3 years old, and that him and his wife were expecting a little girl, Layla. And when it came time for Layla to be born, she was born a stillborn. And she was full term, and he had to then begin to explain to his three-year-old son why Layla wasn't coming home, why Layla was with the Lord. And he was driving in the car with his son, and his son said, "Dad, where's Layla? Why is she not home with us? Why is she not here with us?" And he said, "Son, do you remember when I pointed to the moon to you? And you look at the different phases of the moon, and I said, what the moon, even when you can't fully see it, is what? It's always round. Even when it's full, when it's a half moon, when it's a crescent moon, you might not always see it, but the moon is always round." In the same way, God is always good. God is always good, even when we don't always see it. Even when the things of life can cover our eyes, and we struggle, and we're in pain, God is always good. And we know that because of His Word. And we have to remind ourselves of who God is in those difficult times. And so I pray that we will. I pray that we do. And listen, if you're suffering, if you're going through pain, talk to someone. Reach out to someone. Someone in your Sunday school class, a neighbor, a friend that may go to church here, call me. Don't go through your pain alone. It's not what God has intended. But may we always remember that God is good and we ought to praise Him always. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We cry out to You. We thirst for You, Father. We need You. We cannot live this Christian life apart from You, Father. We're only Christians because You've saved us, because of what Christ has done, Father. We know that there are sufferings in this world that we cannot comprehend, things that we go through in our daily lives, Father, but we know that You are good, that You are worthy of our trust. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us. Help us no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, Lord. Help us to hope in You. Help us to remember Your love. Help us to sing to You. Help us to pray to You. Help us to be comforted by God's people. And help us to remember Your character, Father. Help us to know that You are loving, that You are kind, You are merciful. Each and every day, Father, as we now begin to sing to You, we pray that we would do so in a way that honors and that glorifies You. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "It Is Well With My Soul."